Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
I love the internet, as do many of us, but there are some perils awaiting users who ignore the basic rules of use. There's spyware, malware, ransomware. Cyberbullying, of course, is a concern, but so is using a cell phone or texting while driving. This is real no-nos. So looking at these problems, AT&T has developed a program called Digital U. It's designed to educate us, to make us up to date. My guest is Andrea Brands, who is the Director of Consumer Safety and Education for AT&T, and we're going to talk about Digital U and the fact that it's accessible to anyone. Right? I love that, Andrea. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a subscriber to AT&T's phones or anything else. You can go online and use it. So tell us a little bit about the big concept behind Digital U.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks so much for having me, Shirley. I love the opportunity to talk about Digital U. We're very proud of it. It's a new comprehensive program, as you say. It offers tools and tips, apps, guidance, and even community education presentation and events for people of all ages and levels of experience to learn more about how to have a safe and secure online experience. And really, they're able to harness the power of the internet.
Now, you discovered during the process of doing this, there was a survey done, and you found that some people don't really use the internet because of some of these concerns, safety concerns and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. Our research showed that 32% approximately of disconnected adults said that they stay offline because accessing the web is too difficult, or it's frustrating, or they're physically unable, or they're just plain worried about some of these issues that you mentioned, like, you know, spyware and spam and things like that.
And then, as I mentioned, ransomware, where you get an email saying that, you're not going to have access to anything unless you pay us money. Oh, you know, it's amazing to me what the crooks think of. So let's think of ways to get around them and avoid them. I mean, that's, you know, I think that's what you all are doing here. And I know you've done this in cooperation with a number of organizations. Call for Action is very pleased to be a part of the program and to be a supporter of Digital U. So we take this program. And to me, it must have been very challenging to develop something so comprehensive, because you go into all different categories. You talk about parents, you talk about kids, you talk about different communities, people, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. Mm-hmm. You talk about the people with disabilities. All of those things, to me, are just wonderful, because you've got a section in Spanish, am I right?
Yes.
See, I'm talking about your program just like I know what I'm talking about.
I'm impressed.
Well, it is very interesting. And I really have been interested in seeing this as you all have been developing it and how comprehensive it is. So to you, what do you think are the overriding concerns that caused AT&T to do this?
Well, I think, you know, as you had mentioned, we'd done our research and, you know, looked at the statistics and, you know, about how teens are being bullied, how especially LGBTQ teens are being bullied, and people are regretting what they've put online. A lot of things really resonated with us as a company and with us also as users and having, you know, friends and family. Some folks are, you know, their parents or their grandparents are getting online, so they're getting frustrated trying to help teach them. And the folks, they're getting just as easily frustrated trying to figure out how to get online for the first time when they're, you know, 65. So we had a lot of these programs in the works already. So the challenge for us was, how do you create something that everyone can use, that's easy to use, that's, you know, very intuitive? So I think that was the big challenge for us. You know, we know there are struggles out there, and there are different communities and information that's going to apply or be of interest to those communities. So when you go on our site, it's not really content-driven, it's more user-driven. So when you look at the top, you can, you know, identify with you know, perhaps one of the communities on there and say, okay, that's
what do
the
you
information
want to know?
For
what
me.
Do you want to know?
Right.
Okay, yes, I like that, because that does make you able to connect easier. How do they find it? How do consumers find Digital U?
They can very easily go online and just punch in digitalu.att.com. And they will find us there. And as you had mentioned, they will see a lot of information that our partners also, you know, helped us put together. We know we are not the experts in every single area about all the information. So we wanted to make sure that we were including all of that information for everyone and in a way that resonated with everyone. You will also see an app that we've made help make free to the public for youth grades 6 through 9. That was created by Common Sense, which is another well-known online safety organization, and it helps teach youth how to make smarter choices online.
Well, I know some of the things that you all have been doing in recent years, because Call for Action has been involved in them, and one of them is the It Can Wait campaign, mm-hmm. which is a big campaign. Tell us a little bit about the genesis of that program.
Well, at the time that this started about 5 years ago, there was looking at the research and what we were finding was there was a proliferation or the start of crashes that were being caused by people using their phone or their smartphone to text, mostly youth, because they don't, they were on the phone.
Well, the one of the things, I interviewed someone about kids, drivers, and the impact of cellular phone use when they were in driving. And this person described a kid with a cell phone in their hand as being equivalent to having had 3 beers before they got behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't imagine what the equivalency would be if you started talking about texting. A cell phone in your hand, driving down the highway is not a good thing, mm-hmm. but trying to text and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you also are focusing on the texting.
Right. And it's a distraction that it's all the distractions, right? Your eyes aren't on the road, your mind's not on the road, and your hands aren't on the wheel. So that's why it makes it very dangerous, and the crashes tend to be more severe. Or at least anecdotally, that is what we are finding.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really what prompted us to.
I can believe it. Yeah. And because I think, kids think they're immortal anyway. And while we know that's not true, I think you all have done over the years. I know that you took a video. You had a video that you all developed showing the crash impact of kids. And showing kids in a supposedly driving situation where they were being impaired and they didn't realize how impaired they were.
Mm-hmm.
You used a set up car or something. What did you use in that program?
Well, there were a number of things that we used. We've actually had a couple of documentaries and just recently relaunched a PSA campaign that actually shows what happens when somebody texts and drives, what the results are.
Well, you used a simulated car, that's
right.
What I'm trying to say.
Right, exactly. We used the documentaries as a way to show people mm-hmm. the real life stories, which I think you might be talking about, but also the car simulator. And we've recently relaunched that as well, as the technology has evolved, so is our simulator. It's a real escalated gamification, if you will, a virtual reality experience.
Really does happen.
And it is crazy real.
And you're distracted.
So, exactly.
Okay, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Andrea Brands. She's the Director of Consumer Safety and Education for AT&T. And we're talking about their new program, Digital U, which is available to anyone. Just type in Digital U, and that's Y-O-U, not just the number U, not the letter U. Speaking of texting, we're not going to just do the shorthand version. I like the fact that you also have a section on your Digital U about the abbreviations that are used in texting. I mean, I am so out of touch. But anyway, so we're going back to the simulator, and you've relaunched that campaign as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think kids were really startled when they saw the results of what they were doing and the impact on their driving ability.
Oh, youth and adults.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would be scary, right, because we adults think we can do it too.
Right. But I think you raise a good point, because that is a major difference, is that at their age, when they are still learning those driving skills, they don't, possess the reaction time. They don't hazard scan, if you will. They don't look ahead to see what's on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still developing that driving skill. And so it's really important that they don't have those distractions.
Well, and it's up to parents, too, to make sure that they don't do these things. But I think your educational campaign has brought this to the forefront for a lot of kids. And mm-hmm. that is a serious, can make a serious inroad into the problems of the accidents and whatnot. Okay, so you set out parameters for parents, talking about how to teach their children to be safe online. Mm-hmm. You address in your digital you address cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think that, and I know I've tended to do it too, is to be lax about passwords.
Mm.
Oh my goodness. Yes, indeed. It seems like I have a password for everything in the world, Andrea. Is that one of the big problems? Is that one of the things that kids really do avoid? They don't think they need passwords. They don't protect their phone.
Oh, I think we are all guilty.
We all do
of that.
Surely, okay.
It is not just you. It is everybody. It's funny you should say that. I was visiting with a couple of organizations today that, in addition to Call for Action, have been wonderful in supporting us. So National Consumers League and also National Cyber Safety Alliance, and two separate conversations, and this came up in both of them, and passwords, and actually. I guess what they're really concerned about now is the two-factor or the multi-factor authentication or the verification. So in other words, when you are trying to get online in one of your accounts, you know, that's tied to your email, when you want to change something or add something or purchase something, it requires that verification. So they'll send a code to your cell phone, say, and then you have that little code, then you have to enter it so that they know it's you, that no one's gotten into your accounts fraudulently. And so that's a big push now, because, you know, everybody's using the same password. They aren't changing it for years. And, you know, there are a number of apps. And, you know, after talking with these groups today, I say go forth and explore those apps, because they sound like they're wonderful. They will auto-generate passwords for you and, you know, make them very, very safe. You know, not your typical password that
right.
somebody can figure
right.
out and get into, like, all of your other accounts, because that's really a big deal. Everyone thinks it's the spy software, you know, that's important. But
passwords,
you know, today to change.
So
it.
There are apps that will generate passwords. Mm-hmm. There's ways of keeping track of it. I mean, you don't want to put your passwords on your computer.
No, that's
not a good idea. Because that would not be a very smart thing to do. The other thing that I see people doing is that they put, and I think this is true especially for kids, they put so much information online. They're going to regret it someday, because I don't know that kids really focus on the fact that something stupid that you did, that photograph that you thought was so funny,
right.
it goes online, it's there.
Right.
It's there.
Yep.
Are you seeing that companies use online searches now for content for possible employees and see how stupid they've been when they were young? that's about the only way to put it.
Well, companies will, schools will. That goes, you know, the college applications.
Of course, going to college, right?
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of stats, again, here's another interesting one, that more than 40% of teens, okay, 13 to 17, say they have posted something online that they later regretted. I mean, that's a pretty high percentage.
Wow, yeah. Yes.
So we've got a number of programs on our website to help address that. There's something that we worked on with Project PRO that we supported through iKeepSafe, the privacy reputation online. So it tells the story of two young men. One man posted something that wasn't so great. Another man posted something that was very positive and, you know, sparked the interest of a CEO. And he ended up getting a college tuition. The other lost it because of what he posted. And it just really tells a great story. And the way that it's told, most of the youth that I have seen, really, it really resonates with them. And it's a great example of what can happen when you don't watch what you post.
Yeah.
And what can happen positively when you do.
Yes. Well, you know, that's the nice part of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So the messages that you put there, make them positive so that you wouldn't be ashamed for a future employer or a future school to see.
Exactly.
So I guess that's a little bit hard to do for some kids. But let's talk about, I think, one of the biggest things, and you and I have discussed cyberbullying in the past. Is this continuing to be as big a problem as it was? Are kids learning how better to deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that are going on?
Well, cyberbullying and bullying itself. I was just, reading in the paper about how bullying is still an issue in many schools, just the face-to-face bullying. It is still very much a problem. And again, that is something that we address on the site. We've got, Common Sense, we used a lot of their material and their video that shows cyberbullying situation. And we encourage youth to be upstanders. Instead of bystanders.
Upstanders. Meaning, describe,
exactly.
What do you mean?
Meaning, you know, get involved. Be someone that does not bully and even goes further and try to stop that type of behavior and don't continue to spread gossip or be mean or do something that's detrimental to another person.
Words can hurt.
They absolutely can.
Even if they're on the internet. Absolutely. It doesn't matter. And of course, the way that they can spread information on the internet now can make it even more difficult for them. But now, what are... I know that apps are wonderful. I have apps on my phone. How do you decide? And you have a section on apps and how to use them and so on. How do you know whether or not it's legitimate? I mean, if you're putting this thing on your phone, I want to know that it's honest to God and for real and not going to do something awful to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we provide tips on all of that on the website, on the safety and security. So just click on that and you can find all kinds of tips on how
info.
You can explore whether those apps are credible. And also, you want to make sure that it's not taking any of your personal information without your knowledge and that it's not draining
your
battery.
Let's just take a break right here and come right back and speak and pick up on the apps. And just let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Andrea Brands. She is the Director of Consumer Safety and Education for AT&T. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you occasionally have to take breaks here. We were talking about apps and how do you check them out and how do you know that they are legit? So you're saying that on Digital U, consumers can go there and find information on checking them out, if not checking out the app itself.
Absolutely. And making sure, again, that
the information
that app is not taking your private information. It's not going into your phone and doing anything that it should not be doing. So absolutely make sure that the apps that you download are appropriate and they're from the company that you are thinking that they're from.
Right.
Or the organization.
And that's,
right.
I think that's the important thing. Now, you also have a section on people with disabilities who want to use phones, whether that's hearing or vision or whatever the disability might be.
Right.
That's a very important section for people because cell phones are the instrument that's reaching out to people, your computers and your cell phones and your smartphones. Mm-hmm. I guess we should differentiate because cell phones enables to reach out, smartphones enables to really reach out. Maybe that's one way of defining it.
Yeah.
But you're putting it kind of together to educate people on all of these things that are available on phones.
Mm-hmm.
For people with disabilities.
Right. And tablets and what have you. Yes, there's a special section so that folks can find that information quite easily on all kinds of new technologies and apps that can help people with disabilities. We have training materials on there that that are educational in nature that our own team, our Cato team, which works with accessibility technology at AT&T, they've done great work. And they go out into the communities and they have free trainings with people with disabilities. And if you go on the website, you can find out where those are taking place. It's open to the public. So if you're in an area where they're having one of those trainings, I encourage you
That's
to
amazing.
Take advantage of it.
That is really great community outreach because I think sometimes going into a group and finding out that other people have the same concerns that you do, that kind of helps alleviate some of your fears and you don't feel like, well, I'm not the only dummy out there, and I don't really mean that literally, but knowing that other people have the same issues and concerns, I do think is a comfort.
Yeah.
And I think you all are really stepping up to the plate to put together a program where it's accessible to the entire community.
Well, thank you. I think a lot of people have disabilities as well, and they don't quite understand that. I think as we get older, of course, we can develop more quote unquote disabilities, whether it's our hearing or our sight. So, at some point in time, we might all need a little bit of help.
Oh, I think we all need help a lot of the time. I think it's a comfort and to know it. Now, you talk about choices for kids, and how do you know if your kid is ready for a phone, a smartphone, I'm assuming, because that gives them, I don't know, do kids really get cell phones now, or mostly all, are they moving into smartphones?
They're definitely moving into the smartphone territory, and it's, you know, they're getting younger, and, you know, what the appropriate age is, we're going to leave that up to the parent. You know, I've heard very, very young, and that the parents want, you know, their child to have that smartphone.
To be digital.
To be digital from a very young age, and that's fine, and what we do is provide, you know, some guidance, some information, again, from the experts on our site, so that you can, you know, take a peek and see, you know, what are some of the things I should be considering before I purchase a phone, what kind of age, what would be appropriate for our family, and then what kind of rules am I going to set out, right?
Because with a smartphone, your child has access to the internet, they have access to all kinds of information. Is it good idea for parents to put controls on those phones?
Oh, I think in many cases it is. It certainly is, ease of mind, and also, you know, so those sites that might charge.
Well, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. Sure.
Exactly. And the bills can go up, and a lot of parents could be surprised. So, of course, it's always a good idea to explore those if you think that's a possibility that your child's going to get into that.
Aren't they? You know, when they're curious, I mean, they learn from their friends, too.
Absolutely.
But I do think that the, I guess one of the things that I've always concerned about our young people and the use of phones, cell phones or smartphones, and I think I'm really referring to it at this time, smartphones. And that is, I was at a restaurant not too long ago, sitting outside at a sidewalk cafe, and there were four teenage girls sitting at a table. They never looked up. They had their cell phones out the whole. That's just rude. I said, you know, I wonder if they're texting each other. I mean, what's the purpose of getting together for lunch? You know, there is that concern. I think parents should educate their kids on the proper use of smartphones, especially when they're not sitting there texting all day. Mm-hmm. Do you all get complaints from parents about things like this?
They are certainly concerned, and it's funny you should mention that, because that again came up in my conversation with NCL today, National Consumers League, and John Brayett was telling me about a Pew study that he had been reading about how we're all concerned about that, but he said there's a positive in that it actually is broadening, apparently. Youth, their horizons and their friendships, and they're developing different relationships in different areas. So it's not all bad. It's not the bad scenario maybe that we all think that it might be.
But just keep your manners in tow.
Four people sitting at a table. It was really kind of weird
because I sat there and I thought, you know, I wonder if they're texting each other. They weren't talking.
Maybe they're at least outside.
They were outside. Yeah, they were. There is that. That's exactly right. All right. What have I missed in the digital you? What are some of the other issues that you deal with that you think are really important?
Well, I think a large part of our curriculum includes information for first time or newbies or newcomers. Oftentimes those are seniors getting online for the first time or learning all about the new technology. And, you know, they certainly get on for reasons for family, you know, maybe health related. Maybe they want to do some bargain shopping, from what I understand.
Whatever it is, it enables us to reach out to the rest of the world.
Exactly. Right. And it really does help with that whole isolation with the seniors. So
becomes a problem as people age and they're not out as much and not communicating as much. That would really make a difference.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? It's a great program, Andrea, and thank you for taking the time to come and talk with us about it. For our listeners, you've been tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. My guest has been Andrea Brands, who's the Director of Consumer Safety and Education for AT&T, and you're listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You can get in touch with me, Shirley, at callforaction.org. That's Shirley at callforaction.org if you've got a question. Thank you for joining us.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.